You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
I'm Joe Santagato. We do have a returning guest today.
Ellie Beal. She's back. Ellie, say hi.
Hi.
She's very excited to be here. Today, I'm going to start off with an email from a listener. Hey, Kate and Joe.
You sound like a radio host right now.
Do
like
I?
The way you're saying it.
Oh, anyway. I'm sorry. Okay.
Today.
No, radio hosts, we've already talked about this, are way like, blah, 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 air horn, air horn. I'm not good at accents.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, Kate and Joe, love you guys. We love you too.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay. I just started listening to your podcasts, and I'm still like in September of last year, LOL, but I'm catching up. Totally binging on Invasion of Privacy. By the way, before I keep reading, we get a lot of emails from you guys sending so much love and saying how you see things differently now because of us. And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And I won't speak for Joe. I really am flattered that you're listening, and I'm very happy that your perspective on life is changing. So that means a lot to me. Even if I don't get back to you, it's because I'm probably in a fetal position talking to my 6-year-old self. Anyway. Okay, currently going through a breakup. It's been a month and I can't get over this guy, but you guys are totally making my day and helping me not stress over him. How do you feel about rebounds? I'm currently talking to this ultimate hottie. First of all, you're amazing for calling this person an ultimate hottie.
It sounds like a high school movie.
I love it. I feel like you can tell you're in high school or you're me, because I'm the only one at my age that would be like, he's such a hottie.
I totally call hottie my girlfriend an ultimate hottie.
Aww.
I totally call her an ultimate hottie. Completely.
Adorbs. Okay. Anyway, I'm currently talking to this ultimate hottie, but it's only to get over Adam. First of all, my first crush, his name was Adam too. It's definitely helping me focus my energy on something else. And I think it's totally okay because this new dude has no goals. LOL. I know that's mean, but deep down, I know I totally won't get too into him. Anyways, what's your guys' take on rebounds? Helpful, not helpful. And then it says, with love, I won't give her name because I don't know if I have permission. And then she literally wrote, Joe, with a lot of E's, you're so fucking hot, BTW. Can we hang out? LOL.
She wants to use you, Joe.
She wants
Do
to you use
want
you.
To be used, Joe? Because that's what rebounds are, darling.
You're not all rebounds.
Oh, yeah. You're just using somebody when you're rebounding.
You can't, you can't call it a nice rebound thing. And then not, like, say...
Okay, let me say my advice first.
Wait, would she say...
Oh, wait, let's hear.
How...
No, for Joe.
How long were they dating? This says something about months.
Oh. They were
nice
dating...
Catch.
It was, like, 3 months...
No, no, she's saying we're going through a breakup. It's been a month since the breakup.
Okay, okay. That's okay.
Here's my advice, and I'm sure I'm going to get disagreed with. I don't think it's ever kind to fuck someone. And I think when you're only... like in a
way, what kind of sentence is that?
In a way where you're using them, and I think that if you're only using someone's body as a way to get over another person, I just don't think it's the best way. I think you really want to deal with yourself and deal with your pain instead of, you know, running from it via sex.
You know how people say, like, the best way to get over someone is to get under someone else?
Ooh, that's the, like, best way to get over someone is to get under someone else.
See, like, but, like, I'm
slimy
thinking, you know what I'm thinking, like, if that was me and I'm like, I need to have sex with someone else right now, and I did, what has changed? Nothing has fucking changed. You know what I mean? That's like, oh, well, that's gone.
Can you
now
imagine, like, Sammy breaking up with you, being devastated, and you just crying on top of someone else?
No, okay.
Or that, under someone else. I mean, you have
I
to
mean, the depends, position doesn't matter. But thank you, Ellie.
Could be behind someone else. I don't know. No, but I don't think that. I think that's such a, like, a just a cliche thing. Or maybe just a line that dudes have used on girls who are vulnerable in that state. It's I like, think it's not going to help you. Like, you know what I mean?
I think it makes you more sad. If you're really upset about someone and then you have another body that you don't love on top of you, you're just kind of like, you're not that person. Like, it just makes you more sad, I think. Ellie, you can chime in or weigh in.
Well, I'm going to say a couple things, and you're probably going to judge me and go for go for the judgment.
Fine.
After my devastating, horrible breakup, I was convinced that I couldn't function as a sexual human being. P.S. This is not where I think your emailer is, obviously.
Okay.
So I was curious, and I thought, how much would I pay for a high-priced call girl?
Right? No.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, totally. And I was like, well, you know, I got, you know, what, $3,000. It's $3,000 to $5,000, a decent price to pay for a high price call girl. And then I had the sense to work through that whole thing.
Like, okay, so you didn't get the call girl.
Well, no, because okay. I had the sense to work through it. How would it feel to actually have sex with somebody that I didn't really know, wasn't really interested in, just to you know, I get my testicles off, essentially.
Yeah.
Right? And then I would have been out $3,000 to $5,000, and
it's a lot of money.
Yeah, well, I don't want a streetwalker.
Yeah, no.
You gotta go.
You want some girl? I don't want somebody in somebody's basement.
You don't want a girl who can take out you know who can take mean? Out her teeth. Yeah.
Ooh, that's an image.
I saw that on an HBO special once. It's an image. Wait, what? She gave the best blowjobs according to the clients. There was a woman who could take out her teeth and to give a blowjob.
All right.
So, and I'm saying Ellie wasn't about that life.
No, because I thought it through. So yeah. I didn't spend my money. And I didn't have sort of rebound sex, and I had to deal with myself, and that was the way to do it. So I think a rebound, depending upon how you define rebound, is inherently using somebody.
Yeah.
And unless you would in turn want to be used as somebody else's rebound, don't do it.
Yeah. I've even tried to have a fling. I tried to have a fling recently, actually. It is impossible but like
a
for
fling,
me.
A fling and a rebound are different.
Totally different.
Yes, totally
because
different.
Because a rebound is just strict. Agreed. It's motivated by...
I have to get over somebody.
Right. It's like, that's... What are you doing? You know?
No. Well, my whole point, though, is like, I can't even approach that in a lighthearted, like, way. Like, it, meaning like, okay, I'm just gonna have some, like, harmless fun, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, literally, like, hours later into the date, we're, like, both crying about our childhoods and our deepest wounds. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... But that's where I want to be. I want everything that I do... Not everything. Well, maybe. That's what we're working towards. We're working towards picking raspberries in a field and crying. But, like, I want...
Or being erect. You heard crying. I heard being erect.
If you want to come on a raspberry plant, you come on a raspberry plant.
It's not
plant.
About coming on
I
the
felt,
raspberry
I felt
plant.
I felt that story as
having
well.
That kind of connection with the raspberry
but you
plant.
Go, okay, so... My point is I want to approach things in the most intimate way possible. As I want to be as present as I can be, not just with people, but with like everything I'm doing in my life, whether it's dancing, even if I'm cleaning the bathroom. Maybe that's a bad example. I want to be. Well, no, but
definitely
monks,
a bad example.
Bad example.
But they say that monks, like they do like the simple tasks and that's where they find
yes,
God
yes,
and sweeping
yes.
a broom or sweeping the floor with a broom. They're
yes.
sweeping brooms with another broom. So, I clean very weird. I just sweep rooms all day. But yeah. So I think we all agree that rebounds are not the way to go. Because you're using someone. And like you said, unless you feel like being used, don't treat others. Treat others the way you want to be
Can
treated.
Can we just give you some props, though? Because if he or she is an ultimate hottie, like that's hard to resist. So I get it.
I'll tell you what. I did a comedy show last week and I get on stage and I look in the front freaking row. There are these two Australian dudes who are stunning. One of them looks like David Beckham. Okay. Who to me is like, whoa. And first of all, I'm not into one night stands. I'm not into, you know, that kind of sex, but I couldn't even look them in the eye. They were so good
did
looking.
You talk about your vagina dick?
I did talk about my vagina dick, but I did not. I was like, do not look him in the eye. Do not look him in the eye.
You know, I think you should have looked him dead in the eye and said, and I will take out my energetic dick
and
fuck
you
in the ass.
I will fuck you better.
Holla. I would totally do that for you.
Well, this is what happened. I get off the stage and I said to the host, Matt Pavich, our friend, I was like, oh my God, you see those two hot ass Australian dudes in the front? He's like, yeah. He's like, I'm giving them your number. I was like, I will murder you if you give them my number.
Did he?
No, but this is what happened. Because whatever, at the time I was like, you know, sleeping with someone and, oh you know, God. I care about that person. And I first of all, I don't have any interest in one night standish. I don't care how hot you are. I want something deep and intimate. That's all I want. Okay. And if I'm not going to have that, I'll be celibate and that's fine with me. But anyway, So I was just like, I don't really want that. It's one thing to be like, oh my God, that person's so gorgeous. It's another thing to actually want to act on it. And I was like, do not give him my number.
Was
and
there
of course,
an actual difference between looking at them and what you felt in your body?
I don't understand what you mean.
So you can look at somebody and say, oh, they're hot. This happens for me a lot. Like, oh God, I hope my girlfriend never hears this.
Of course she's going to hear this.
Okay.
You can just say pass.
I've actually said this to her before, which is that you can look at somebody and say, oh, wow, they're hot and they're attractive, but not feel them in your body because it's the feeling in your body that is the attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you looked at them, you said, fucking smoking. God damn it. But did you feel them in your body?
No. Well, yes and no. Because I looked, it would have been the same. If they were two hot model girls, I would have had the same reaction of like, oh my God, these
are
crazy looking.
So there wasn't anything visceral about having to have them?
No. No.
Got it. So there's the difference.
But my body still felt like the whoa, you know, like it wasn't totally. Like, oh, let me totally. Jump their bones. That sounds so nerdy. But anyway, but this is what happened.
I get
home and the David Beckham one was like tweeting at me. Like, why didn't you stick around for a beer? And like, I definitely was like, oh my God, like a part of me was just like, oh my God, this hot guy thinks I'm like cute. And but, you know, like there was a part of my ego that was like, oh my, and then I quickly got over it and was like, I'm good, dude. Like, very nice. Thank you for reaching out. But no.
That's sweet.
But I definitely, I was like, I still got it. I had a baby out of this puss, but you know.
So you just ruined it.
I know. What happened to that?
Yeah, that's a defense.
You were going.
The moment I get into my sexy goddess feeling, I'm just like, let's ruin it with goofiness. Whatever. I'm working through some stuff, guys.
Embrace your inner goddess and roll with it.
Maybe it was David Beckham.
Oh, my God.
And then you
what would you... The bummer, huh?
I still wouldn't.
What's his chicken? You're...
David Beckham probably has like 10 million STDs. I'm telling you, I'd
Why?
Way rather...
He bangs Victoria.
That's her name.
I think he's like cheated. Here's the thing. I'm being dead serious. To me, I only want to have deeply hot connected sex. I don't want...
Once you have deeply hot connected sex, you can't go back. Mm-mm. That's true. Everything Mm-mm. else. Uh-huh.
So that's what I want. I don't want just like shallow bodies bumping up against each other. Friction.
You don't want a Band-Aid.
No. No. No.
What was that?
It was a cat dying.
A cat dying?
No. That's what it sounded like.
Does it? Do cats sound
I don't know. I've never heard a cat die, Ellie.
How many cats have you heard that died?
Did you just make that
shit up? Maybe. Are you calling me a liar?
No. I'm. How do you make up cats dying? Who does that? You have to have actual knowledge about cats dying.
I'm just, you ever hear a cat, though, upset? And it's like,
meow. Do you know that that's when they're mating? Cats sound fucking horrendous when they're mating. They bite the back, like the male cat will just take the female cat, regardless of whether she wants it or not, and regardless of age.
That's right.
And that, yes, they do that a lot. So do dolphins. Sorry, people. Dolphins can be violent.
They rape.
No, that's. I feel like that's knowledge now. Dolphins are rapists.
Yeah.
Not all dolphins are rapists.
No,
just like not all humans are rapists.
100% of dolphins are rapists. 100.
Even the female ones.
Now our dolphin fans are going to be offended.
If 100 of them are rapists, are they rapists or are they just dolphins?
Oh, mind blown.
I'm just asking the right questions, you know?
Kabbalah.
No, that was so... Can I have a high five?
Both are true.
Don't, yes, thank you.
Both are true. Answer with Kabbalah, come on.
Oh, yeah. They're rapists and they're also just dolphins.
That's correct. They're expressing their dolphin nature, which we view as rapist nature.
Mm.
So both exist. Both are true.
But if you are a dolphin...
If I am a dolphin...
Then are you...
In your mind, I am a rapist.
Just a big pause.
And a nosebleed begins.
That's true. Yeah. Can you imagine? I hear what you're saying, though, because we're the ones viewing the dolphin.
That's right.
So if we say, oh, well, that's what race is.
This is ridiculous, this conversation.
Totally.
Welcome to Ellie and I and our talks.
It started with her cat sound of a cat dying.
Do you want to hear some shit?
Which she's never heard, by the way.
You want to talk about rapists and shit? Okay, so there was this thing on Daily Mail that
I'm
saw.
I'm glad we're keeping this one light. Keep
and,
going.
And this guy.
Daily Mail?
This guy,
what
yeah.
What is that?
It's like a.
The, porn site?
No, it's Daily Mail.
Oh, you're thinking of
mail,
like.
No, mail like. Let me write you a letter mail and
oh,
send it in the mail.
M-A-L-E.
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
Way to sexualize
not
it, Ellie.
Daily Mail. So, Daily
oh,
Mail.
Daily Mail.
Every day you get one dude and he's, you know, it's a Daily Mail. But, so I was reading and there's this guy, he went to him in an aquarium where like you could play with the dolphins in like shin deep water. Not shin deep, but like waist deep water.
I've
and,
never
like,
heard the, shin deep water.
Yeah, I don't know
I'm
why
so
I said
into that.
Like a dolphin.
I just
dolphin
wanted to say
how
shallow.
Deep, how, yeah. Yeah, how deep was the water? You know, shin deep.
It's usually ankle deep. But
I don't even know.
Knee deep.
Yeah,
I don't know
exactly.
Why.
Have I ever been in shin deep water? I don't know.
At the beach. Anyway.
Okay.
So shin deep. I'm losing it. This guy, he was in, you know, one of those like tanks where you get to like touch the dolphins, whatever. So he's like, he's telling the story that he was touching this dolphin and it swam up to him and he's like petting it. And then it kept swimming forward and then it turned over on its back.
Jesus.
Until the guy was rubbing the dolphin vagina.
On purpose?
The guy was doing it. And he's like, and she,
oh,
she seemed to like it. And, She stopped moving once I was doing that. And then he goes on to explain that he had a sexual relationship with this dolphin for like 2 years. Yeah.
Is he a friend of yours?
Oh, he's not
he
a friend of mine.
He just was fingering a dolphin for fun?
Does he live with his mom?
What did he get out? Stop it.
In a
what
basement.
Did he, what did he get out of fingering a dolphin?
Who the fuck knows? I'm guessing he put his dick in a dolphin as well.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking as well.
And you know what I knew?
Would you say no to that? Truth. Think through. Think
would
through
I say
thing.
No
think
to fingering
thing.
A dolphin? Yes, I don't need to.
I mean, what kind
no.
of experience was
you
that?
Don't, no, you don't need
you
to
don't
say,
know.
Ellie. No, don't do the whole sit with it. No, Kate, sit with it. I don't need to sit with it.
You
do, I don't want to finger a dolphin.
Of course, I wouldn't want to finger.
Do
a
you
want to
finger
either,
a dolphin?
But what would happen if you were placed there? I once had a guy ask me to fuck him up the ass. He was straight. And he said, please fuck me up the ass.
And
I did not do that. I would
but
have
she regrets it to this day.
A little bit. Because then I would have been able to say, yes, I fucked a dude up the ass. And he was straight. Not a fairy. Mm-hmm.
Not a fairy.
So. So. Think about it.
You're saying for the story of like,
yes!
Hey, I fingered a dolphin.
Yeah. Well, that's a little perverse and would really shine some poor light on you. But
that's a story you keep
inside. I'm not
inside.
Saying on me. I've already said no to this for the record.
But you wouldn't even think about it. Like nobody else is going to have the experience. Nobody. Nobody.
See,
I'm sure
I hear
there's some
what
other
you're saying.
Dolphin fuckers in the world.
There are a bunch.
I didn't even know dolphins had vaginas.
What do you what?
No, but listen. If I had to
male,
think about
female,
it,
amphibian,
if I had, but this is what I'm saying. Like, no. If I had to think about it, of course I'd be like, well, they have to have vaginas. But I've never like seen one or even like given that thought. And this guy's over here playing with it.
I mean,
in the waist deep, there's little kids around probably on vacation.
He definitely did not. No, he definitely didn't finger a dolphin near children.
He did.
He did?
He told the story. That's when he first saw the dolphin. He was in that thing with the other people. It swam up. He was rubbing its head. And then it was swimming forward and turning. And then once he got to the vag, it stopped.
6-year-old Kate is right now needing me. She's feeling very upset by this information. 6-year-old Kate loves dolphins. And doesn't want
to
think of them
never
in this way.
Talk to me again. She loves dolphins too. Screwed.
It's weird. How do you fuck a dolphin? It's like, Jesus.
Can you guys stop looking me in the eye when you're talking about this? As if I'm the
placed.
Expert.
Depends where the vagina's placed, right?
I mean, I'm sure it's
you
could
get
do
leverage
it.
On the fin part. If you know what I mean.
I'm not here anymore.
It's tough anymore.
I'm not here
I'm
anymore.
Laying in bed with 6-year-old Kate, who's a little traumatized, and we're working through. We have a lot of crystals in our hands.
That's how you create STDs.
We're calling on the angels.
Is that how you create them?
Yeah, you just, you know, put your dick in stuff and then put it in other stuff and then stuff happens.
People just put their dicks and their...
That was all the science
simplistic.
You're going to get from me.
Yeah, that's a little
Joe and I never have facts for these things.
You put your dick in here, put it in there.
The first STD
shit
started.
Goes on.
Yeah.
Put it someplace
science.
Else, done. Yeah.
In 1865, the first STD was started when blah, blah, blah fucked a dolphin. I couldn't even think of a name on the spot.
Yeah.
First of all, STDs must have been around. How long do you think STDs have been around for?
Oh, God. I don't know. I feel like everyone had them back in the day, you know?
UTIs have been around forever. We know
that. Have they? How do you know that?
Because they've got to predate STI, right?
What?
STI? Is that a car?
Sexually transmitted infection.
GTI.
Infection.
Is that a car?
That could be a car. Or is it GTI? You're right about that. That's right. No, I think there's a Subaru STI. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to get waylaid down this rabbit hole. So, UTIs had to exist prior to STDs. There weren't enough people to make STDs, right? But women's vaginas were always growing stuff that didn't made us feel bad.
They're like ovens for bacteria.
Yes. And how long has anal sex existed?
A while.
Right.
As long as anuses have been around.
There you go. So, you know, you put it in the anus and then you put it in the vagina. Bang, STD.
Oh, yeah. No. If you're going to put your
UTI.
Dick in...
UTI.
You can't put your
confused.
Dick... if you're going to put your penis in an ass, do not then try to go put it in a vagina because that is the quickest way...
That is
way.
A UTI.
Yes.
Bang. So they've predated STDs. I'm finally getting it right.
God.
You're
I wonder how.
Right
I
now.
Wonder. I wonder how.
She's
they
like
cured...
Nicolas Cage in the National Treasure movie. She's got all the clues. She's figuring it out.
So UTI first.
How do you think?
Chicken or the egg?
For those of you who've never had a urinary tract infection, they are the most painful things. It feels like your vagina's on fire. Have you ever had a urinary tract infection?
Oh my God! I went to the Abington Hospital.
They're
they
the
had
worst.
To give me Levaquin.
So how
it's
do you
awful.
Think? How did they? You know, cure them back in the day without antibiotics. I wonder what they took.
They probably died.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I had a UTI.
It's very dangerous to have
anal.
And you die.
I had a UTI, but I didn't take anything and it went away.
You have a penis, though. It's different.
Okay.
Did you drink cranberry juice?
I might have. It was in high school during football.
How'd you get a UTI?
Because, I've never washed my practice football, girdle.
So he wore a jock strap thing or whatever, and it didn't wash it, so the bacteria got in his pee-pee hole.
Yeah.
And that created a urinary tract infection?
Yep.
Or crabs?
No crabs. We're all set. We're all set there. No crabs. Just a UTI. You know? I just felt like I had to piss.
Very feminine thing for you to have. That's sweet.
Could you stop trying to emasculate him?
It's cool. I'm not. He said UTI.
I had one.
I love how she's sticking up for you.
It was dope.
It's very sweet.
It's
sucks,
okay,
doesn't it?
He can handle himself, you know what?
I just felt like I had to piss himself. For a couple of days, whatever it was.
Oh, man.
I just felt like I got to piss.
Your vagina's on
right
fire.
Now.
You basically just want to sit on the toilet. You can't leave because it just feels like you need to pee constantly
That's
and it's
true.
Burning.
Yeah, my
That's
vagina true. Was burning.
Or a vagina was burning. Your metaphorical vagina was burning.
Yeah.
I want to say that Ellie in the green room called Joe an evolved bro, and I just love that.
Still
I feel
wondering
like
what that definition is.
That needs
is.
To be your name. Your first comedy special is The Evolved Bro.
Men are evolving to you.
That is such a compliment.
Why? What is that?
I'm taking Kate's word for it.
No, explain it.
There's no science.
Ellie, you know
it.
What you mean. No, you said it, and you know what you mean.
It's a combination of masculine and feminine energy in a single unit. Your feminine energy being your ability to listen, to
and
take
get
it.
UTIs.
Well, to talk about it comfortably and to be secure in your masculinity, even if you express something that's feminine.
Sure.
You're so androgynous.
Is that where the world's going? Are we involved?
Absolutely. Yep.
So we're getting better?
I think so. But as things get better, things also get worse
in other
areas.
Well, women have to evolve as well, right? So women have to become more masculine in areas. Men have to become more feminine
in
areas.
And Ellie and I have no problem with our masculinity.
I mean, clearly not. And androgyny is more like a balance. Our balancing of our energies will be the evolution of the species.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you are an evolved bro because you are not scared of your inner feminine.
That's right.
Which is, he's such a good listener. He's not scared to look at parts of himself. Even if he can look at a part of himself and then go, but that's not for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean you take it in. So if I said, I can't think of a good example, but if I said something like, do you cry during romantic movies? You'd be like, let me think about it. No. Like, you know what I mean?
But Marley, you'd actually... fucking mess. A fucking mess.
He's a huge dog lover, Ellie. Ellie, her job is... What would you call your job?
At somebody once coined it perfectly. It was an extreme dog walker.
An extreme dog walker.
Dude, I swear to God, that movie, I was like, you would have thought my whole family was like in a plane crash. Like, I was like a mess. I was a mess. It was wild.
There's something about you and dogs.
When I was younger, Air Bud got me. I swear to God, I had my head under a blanket, and my sister's like, are you fucking crying? And I was like, no. But yeah, I fucking was. I was crying.
Let me tell you, Ellie is for real a dog whisperer. I know there's an actual dude that called the dog whisperer, but like Ellie, she trains her dogs to walk without a leash. They just listen to her. She speaks animal. Right. She really knows how
dogs, cats.
It's all
about
cats.
The energy and like the assertiveness of everything.
Yeah.
I've seen a Caesar Milan episode, one or two.
Yes, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I wish it worked on people. And it can work on people. It can.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Can't train them to leave me alone, though.
People?
Yes.
Well,
they
Ellie's
follow
very...
me, too, and I can't stand it.
You're
leave
someone,
me alone.
You're someone who really likes your space. I think that's very healthy.
I do.
Yeah.
I like my space.
You'll run away. Like
I will run
like,
away.
Where did Ellie go? And she's like hiding in a stairwell.
I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. But good for you. Because too many people want to run away and hide in a stairwell and make themselves, they force themselves to keep talking or doing small talk. Mm. And that's not the way to go.
Right.
You don't extend yourself like that for someone else. That sounds really bad. But you know what I mean? If it's causing you inner turmoil or pain,
right.
Know when to walk away and take space.
That's right.
Speaking of walk away and taking space, I actually have to leave.
No!
I do. I have to go.
Oh, my God.
I have to...
Oh, my God.
The most sarcastic.
No, she means it. Oh. You said 7:20, bitch. We've got 3 more minutes.
All right.
This motherfucker...
I kind of have to after that, though, no?
Okay, fine. But let me just say something. I'm like, Joe, are we good? Yesterday or 2 days ago, I'm like, are we good for Thursday, 6 to 8? He's like, yeah, of course, blah, blah, blah.
You know what?
And then today, literally today, he's like, oh, by the way, forgot to tell you.
Because I forgot.
You guys, when he leaves, you have to like shut off the radio or whatever, the podcast, whatever, shut it off. Because
no.
Kate and I are going dark.
No,
we're going
we're not.
Real fucking dark
no.
on this one. Dude, shut off the podcast, put it down. It's going to twist you up.
No, keep listening, but we are going to get
no,
real.
I swear
no,
to God,
I bought
tickets for me and my brother. Because
there's no hope anymore.
Can you just let me know next time? Like
I didn't know until today. I'm going to Times Square.
He's going to a comedy show.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name?
Bo Burnham.
Oh, yeah, he's big.
I bought tickets for me and my brother Keith because he really likes him. And then I totally forgot about it. And he told me today before I was sleeping. He goes, oh, we're going tonight, right? And I was like, what? And then
do you get nervous before you have to text me every time? Do you get a pit in your stomach or like, fuck, Kate's going to be annoyed? Or do you not even care?
I don't know.
Truth it out.
Come on. I'm not afraid to tell you something. No.
No, that's healthy.
What?
I'm trying to make him scared of me.
Judging?
Did you see that?
Are
I'm
you
like,
judging health? Mental health?
No.
Emotional health?
No, he's healthy. He's healthy. I already know he's healthy.
Exactly.
He's so evolved. He's the evolved bro.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's where humanity's going.
Help.
Good for you.
Help.
Goodbye, Kate.
Help. Don't
Very
go.
Nice meeting
Don't
you.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right, Ellie, it's
we're
me and
fucked.
You now. No,
Tim,
we're not. Don't say
turn
that.
Turn the podcast off. It's going dark.
Ellie.
Dark.
No, don't tell him to turn it off.
I'll definitely do it.
You guys keep listening. Okay, Ellie, let's talk about healing. No, we can talk about whatever we want.
Do you feel the lights shutting down all around us?
But no, but healing's not a dark topic. Yeah, this is what I'll say about healing since Ellie and I are in that school. It's not easy. That's the thing.
Something has to be taken away in order for something to be created.
That's true. Don't go too
dark.
Like, that's not dark. That's just intense.
Dark. That's sad.
Let's just talk about healing because you've come a long way in your life to get where you're at.
And my ass is still big.
Fine. But the whole thing about healing work is it's not easy. And I think when I first started getting spiritual, I thought it was going to be some like rainbow unicorn thing, creeks and caves, not caves, just like creek, you know, like you're like a Buddha and you're meditating on a river and it's all peaceful. It's been way more difficult. You really have to face your pain to heal it. So that's all I'll say about that. Well, let's talk about something fun.
Did you tell your story though?
What story?
Where you were jogging and fell flat on your face and that's how you knew that you were going to join the school?
No.
You should tell your story because that's, in my opinion, that illustrates the nature of how the path chooses you. You don't choose it.
Okay. We'll talk about the spiritual path. Well, what happened was I was dating Tim and he was in the school that we're in and it's a decent amount of money. Right? It's not chump change.
It's not chump change.
So I was like, there's no fucking way I can join this school. I can't afford it. So, and then literally the day before this jog happened, I had finally been able to take out my pension, which I had been unable to take out for 2 years for some reason. The website wasn't working. And I finally, it just came out really easily. And it ended up being the exact amount that 4 years of this school would be. Okay. So I'm going for a jog the next day and I'm just really jealous that I'm not in the school. Tim was in it that weekend and I just was really feeling like, fuck, I want to be in the school, but I can't afford it. So I'm jogging and I saw these like two sparkly things and I was like, oh my God, they're angels. The angels are speaking to me, which they were. And and then all of a sudden my shoe catches like the uneven pavement and I crash right to my knees, right on my hands. My phone shatters, which is a shattering, but my phone shatters and I am so upset. And I'm like, why would I see angels or whatever they
were? Why would angels fuck me up?
Why? Yeah, why? I was so upset for like hours and hours until I realized they called a shattering in the school, which is when like, how would you describe a shattering? Which is when a part of your reality or your defense mechanisms, whatever, shattered.
Belief system.
There you go. So it ended up being a shattering. And that in that moment when I realized it was a shattering, I was like, oh my God, I'm joining the school. I don't care how much money it is. I'm going to make it work. And I got through a year. I'm making it work. It's money's tight. But the school has changed me so much that it was worth it. And I met Ellie, who's one of my bestest friends.
Oh my God.
That's not idolizing you by saying you're one of my best friends.
Here we go again.
Anyway.
What's changed the most for you?
I love how you're interviewing me and taking it on to me. What's changed the most? Being able to sit in an uncomfortable space. So when I get really, I'm someone unlike Joe. I don't want to say unlike Joe because I know he has his sad moments. But I, you know, definitely battle depression. And it was a lot harder for me to sit in that and not be mad at myself for it. Like, what's wrong with me? Why am I depressed again? Why can't I be like, quote unquote, other normal people? Mm-hmm. I want to be functioning like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And now I'm able to sit in that discomfort and not be as hard on myself and say, we all need to suffer to be able to relate to one another and to just be here in physical form. I'm a warrior for taking this on. And everyone listening, as cheesy as it sounds, you are all warriors for even being here on earth. I don't care if you're spiritual or not. You are a warrior for choosing this path because being in this dual earth plane is not an easy thing. Some people have easier paths than others for some reason. Like Ellie has had a pretty difficult journey. Your best friend was murdered.
Do you believe?
I don't. Am I allowed to talk about the substance stuff or no?
Oh, sure. Okay. And I'll try to make it funny.
Yeah, make it funny. Let's talk about your addiction.
Oh.
But make them laugh about it.
Yeah, that's
no, but addiction is funny in a sense. Like, you can make it funny. How long were you an alcoholic for?
16 years.
That's a long time.
16 years. And I love drugs.
What kind of drugs did you do?
LSD. I still to this day. I wonder what would happen.
And if you did it now?
Yeah, I do. I do. I love LSD. And
well, is LSD, isn't that a hallucinogenic?
It is a hallucinogenic.
That's almost like a psychedelic drug.
It is.
Because things like shrooms, I don't even know if I would call them like a typical drug.
Oh, some people call them medicine. I loved LSD. I was a complete pothead and I endured fine tequila.
Mm.
Tequila was my game.
How much were you drinking on a night? Like a night when you're getting drunk, how much would you have?
I would buy an expensive bottle of tequila. I put in some ice cubes into a tumbler and fill the tumbler up. I'd put a beer next to me. I'd blow some weed, sip my tequila, drink a beer, and then have another tumbler filled with tequila.
That's a lot.
And probably another beer or two.
Okay. What was the point that made you finally stop?
I was put in jail.
Wow.
I went to jail. I got a DUI.
Damn.
I hit a I was riding my motorcycle home from the club.
Drunk.
And it was a big motorcycle. And at the time, I was selling motorcycles and I was racing motorcycles. And I had this beautiful old 1100cc, you know, 82 drag bike that I adored. And some guy in my neighborhood was selling something in the middle of the street without his lights on. And I came up on him like white on rice. And I pretty much ripped out his quarter panel and I flipped over. And
Jesus.
I got robbed. That was pretty funny when I was passed out.
Really?
I was passed out.
Wait,
and I
after
got
the
robbed.
Car accident? You were passed
after
out?
After my motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. I was passed out.
So wait, you got into the accident. You passed out from the accident.
I was flipped probably about 20 feet off my bike. And my bike was, you know.
And the person robbed you while you're laying unconscious
well,
on the ground?
You got to figure that I hit somebody who was sitting in the middle of the street without his lights on. Doing probably something nefarious, obviously.
Oh.
I couldn't see him. I came up on him like white on rice. I'm drunk on tequila and beer.
So he doesn't feel bad for you at all?
No, and I'm heading to my brother's to smoke some dope with him out in Horsham. And I was living in Philly, so, you know, I flipped over his... I did hit a Jaguar, by the way. I flipped over his Jaguar onto the other side of the street. My bike was about 50 feet in front of me, maybe 75 feet in front of me, and I was passed out and they robbed me. They took my cigarettes, they took my money, they wow. even took my Saint Christopher.
I think so. That was your moment where you're like, it's time to get
no, because alcoholics take a long time, drug addicts take a long time. I got out of jail the next day. I hobbled myself home. I laid on my couch, and for about 4 days after laying on my couch, because by this time I was unemployed and in debt, because, you know, I was an alcoholic, and by 4 days into it, I started to have the cravings, and I thought, okay, I'll try to manage this. So I said, I'm only going to drink on Fridays because, you know, it was Thursday. I could wait till Friday. So
yeah,
I got drunk on Friday night. I got high on Friday night. I smoked cigarettes on Friday night. And the next week, Friday became Wednesday. And the week after that, Wednesday became Monday. And it was right back to, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And then I just...
How long after the accident did you decide
Three
to get
weeks.
Sober?
3 weeks. I didn't decide to get sober. I was told that I had to get sober.
Oh, well.
and
that was a gift.
I don't understand it to this day. To this day, I stopped smoking cigarettes. I stopped blowing weed. I stopped.
I like how you say blowing weed.
I was.
I've never heard someone say blowing weed.
I stopped dropping acid, eating shrooms, and drinking tequila and beer. I stopped everything all at once.
Wow.
But that wasn't me. That's not willpower. That's not willpower.
You
that
think it's like it was like a higher
grace.
Wow.
I call that grace. Because there are plenty of things that I can't do that I should be able to do that most normal people can do that I just
like what?
Consistently eat well. I can't consistently eat well to save my fucking life.
Really?
That's an act of grace. It would be an act of grace for me because I'm an addict through and through. You give me something good, I'll run right through it and then I'll lick the plate.
Yeah.
That's just how it is for me. So it was something outside of me, and yet people will look in and say, how did you quit all that? How did you stop drinking? How did you stop blowing weed? How did you stop all your whole life?
You feel like it wasn't even you, like it was you, but it was something like a higher power that helped you get through it?
It was, for some reason, it was necessary. That's the only way I understand
wow.
it, is for some reason it was necessary. Because there's no possible way that I and my humanity could ever accomplish that.
Well, you did. So maybe give yourself a
I
little
didn't.
More credit.
No, I didn't.
Huh.
I didn't. Goes back to the choice thing. You want to talk about choices?
Yeah, well, Ellie and I talk about this, how much choice, you know, how do we have free will as humans? Like, are we really?
Do you feel like you had free will with that money? Do you really feel like once you understood that you were going to not go to school, that you could have seriously made a different choice?
I don't know. I don't often feel like I have free will, but I maybe free will is just in how you're going to perceive it. Maybe you have free will in how you ride the wave, but you don't have any power over the water. Does that make sense? Like you had to quit drinking. You had to. Life put you in a situation. But you chose. But you chose to be positive about it. So you've come through some experiences, and you still get to choose your attitude.
I don't think it was a choice.
You think even your attitude, how you wake up, and how you see the day.
There's a mystic. There's a mystic by the name of Carolyn Mace.
Okay.
And at one point she says, I am convinced that we are guided right down to the apple that we choose.
Interesting. I believe it. I'm just curious. I often think about how much choice do we have as humans.
And guided is interesting. It's an interesting phrase. And I think that your wave analogy was beautiful, right? So the sea is going in this direction. Are you going to try to go against it, which would be free will and your choice? Or are you going to choose within that wave how you're going to ride it? That's absolutely correct, I think.
But do you think we get to choose
to resist it? I don't think we get to choose the waves.
So we don't, obviously the waves are the waves, but do we get to choose whether or not we swim upstream against the current or with it? Do we get to choose that at least? Or is that something that's also predetermined?
I think that that is about consciousness.
How conscious you are. But do you have a choice in how awake you are? Because I don't feel like I chose to wake up to spirituality. I used to be a complete atheist, not into any of this stuff. And I feel like that even got thrown onto me. Like I wasn't like, you know what? I kind of need an answer. Let me start reading about spirituality. Things happened to me that kind of woke me up.
That's right.
That wasn't even a choice.
That's right.
So I wonder what we do have a choice about. And I don't think we have the answer. We can sit here and...
Well, I think the more conscious you become, the more aware you are of the choices surrounding you.
So interesting.
Recently, my life has taken on a life of its own, literally, and I'm pushed in 16 different directions down hallways that, you know, I can't turn back from. My mom's sick. I just moved. I have a Herculean family dispute going on where my 85-year-old mother is being sued by my siblings, and it's really disgusting, and I have to show up for my mom not only physically but also legally and also emotionally. And you can't stop that train. That's a wave that you get on and you just learn how to ride. In that, I am entirely and completely exhausted at every single end. But the choice that rests in the back of my mind is, do I wake up a little earlier to pray and to meditate and to write in my journal because I know that that centers me and I know that that's good for me, or do I sleep in? Seems silly that those insignificant choices would matter so much, but you string together days and days of sleeping in and you become more and more negative and you become more and more tired. You don't become filled up with what heals you.
Yeah, but I think you even said this to me the other day, sometimes sleeping in is the healthier choice.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes your body needs that rest.
And sometimes waking up and meditating and praying.
So it's just hard to know. Like, it's hard to know which is
very,
because,
know.
You know, what could be right for you one day mm-hmm. could not be right for you the next. Mm-hmm. You know, you have all these different tools at your disposal, and the right tool for you on a Wednesday could be the wrong one for you on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to...
But what's that about?
I don't know. Do you know?
Presence.
Being present.
Being present.
Being present and awake being enough present. To know what is actually suiting for you. Yeah, because people get attached... So they keep trying to use the wrench to fix all the other mm-hmm. things when the wrench worked for you on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. but now it's Thursday and a hammer would work best. Mm-hmm. But we're like, no, I love the wrench. Mm-hmm. And they keep trying
to
use the wrench.
You're attached to the wrench.
Yeah, you're attached to the wrench. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, my life in the last 3 months has been all about attachment and learning how to...
Isn't it interesting stuff? I love attachment.
It's really brutal,
I could talk
though,
about attachment
because we
forever.
Get attached. I get attached to people, and it's very hard for me to let go, even when
I
a situation
you get
isn't
to
right.
Dynamics that people bring out.
Interesting, really.
Sure.
Okay, that's probably right.
Because everything is relational, right? Everything is dynamic. Everything is relational. You get attached to
the dynamics. Yeah, but I also feel like I fall in love with the person and I don't want to lose the person even if...
But they're bringing out that dynamic.
Okay, okay.
Of love, of falling in love, of all of that stuff.
Got it. You're right. So I get very scared of losing that dynamic, that connection, that feeling of connectedness. And maybe it's an illusion because, you know, we can all feel that connection within ourselves if we, you know... return to ourselves. But I have found I've been working on with my attachment to that, those dynamics of when they're no longer working for me or healthy or they're actually causing me a lot of pain, mm-hmm. to letting them go. Mm-hmm. And it has been brutal.
Because what comes up?
I don't want to be abandoned. That's the feeling. Because I feel like when I'm going to be abandoned, I'm going to die. It feels like an actual death. And it's funny because if Joe was here, he'd be like, you're fine. Why would you think you're going to die? But when you have the kind of childhood you and I have had, mm-hmm. it's not, it's really bringing up deep wounds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so in those moments, I'm like, no, if I actually ask for space in this moment, which I do feel like I need, I'm going to feel like I'm left to die. So I often will then put up with shit, that hurts me so I don't feel alone. And in my last recent case, the person wasn't even treating me like shit. It just, for whatever reason, wasn't serving us at the moment. We were both feeling trapped and not free. It was not a thing where he was even mistreating me. And I just knew, but I mean, I wasn't as strong. It was a mutual thing, but yeah, it was hard. It's hard to walk away when something isn't working because I'm scared of that loss and that feeling of death and abandonment.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. And the problem is that then you have to be present for that kind of pain and stay as present as you possibly can in that pain and believe that it will shift.
Yeah.
And you've been doing
it. And it has. It has already in a couple days. Listen, it's still painful. You know, but it's definitely shifted because I'm able to sit with that 6-year-old girl, mm-hmm. in that pain, put my hand to my heart and talk to her.
And use the cheesy phrase, ride the wave.
And ride the wave.
Ride the wave.
And know that even when the waters get choppy, it's going to pass and there will be calmer waters ahead.
And you're not going to drown.
No. That's I used to think I was going to.
But no, you might have. You might have then, because you do have to be ready to sit in it and you do have to have the proper support group.
Well, I was thinking about it and like defense mechanisms in general. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have to be so hard on ourselves because as little kids, if we're in a really rough situation, right? You're in a family household that's really just unhealthy and toxic. You probably don't want to get out of bed. I know that I, for example, had lots of thoughts of I want to die. I don't want to be around these people, but I still had to get up and function. Your parents make you get up, go to school. I probably just wanted to lie in bed and cry, mm-hmm. but I had to get hard on myself. I had to create defense mechanisms, get up, be functional. Mm-hmm. And now as those defenses fall down, as I keep having more shatterings, that's why I allow myself time to lay in bed and cry because mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed that mm-hmm. as a little girl when I actually needed that because I didn't feel able to function in that environment.
Do you
but
see
I had
how
to.
A lot of our society is just simply a defense mechanism.
Yep, on autopilot, mm-hmm. just to get things done.
Mm-hmm. And it absolutely deteriorates from an authentic experience.
Yeah.
So the suffering is part of an authentic experience. If you're suffering, you're doing something right, typically.
Yeah. But we all want to avoid suffering because we think we don't want to feel it. It's uncomfortable. And we also think we put judgment on it. Oh, if I'm suffering, there's something wrong with me.
Lots of judgment.
Why am I not happy like my next door neighbor?
Right. And there's no, yes. Why am I not happy like my next door neighbor? Why can't I cook this? Why don't I have that? Why don't I jog every day? Why can't I have X, Y, and Z?
Yeah. Meanwhile, your next door neighbor is cutting themselves or watching donkey porn or whatever. You know what I mean, though?
Do you think there is such a thing?
There's definitely donkey porn. I saw...
Donkey porn?
I've talked about this before. There is a documentary about people in Colombia where it's a typical regular thing to fuck donkeys. And it stuck with me because it's like once you see a man fuck a donkey, it never goes away.
I don't even know what to say. There's just silence on the other end. I mean, I know there's something like midget porn, which I thought would just be funny.
Let me tell you something. The craziest part about this documentary is not the actual fucking of donkeys. It's how accepted it is there.
That's actually not funny.
No, it's the fact that it's become the norm and no one questions it.
That is funny.
It's really interesting.
Because the good news is that donkeys typically, it doesn't hurt them.
Well, that's good to know.
That is good to know because
the donkey seemed pretty unfazed.
Proportionally speaking, man has the smallest penis size next to almost every single other animal. So proportionally speaking, he's got micro dick.
Yeah, so it's not like a horse raping a woman.
It's exactly. And it's not like a horse having sex with a donkey, which would hurt the donkey even more. And it's not even like a donkey having sex with another donkey because the guy's dick is
it's
not
almost,
as big
to the
as
donkey,
a donkey,
it's like a fly like landing on it. It's like, what's this little thing?
Well, probably depending
on
the size.
A little more than a fly.
Yeah, yeah,
a little more than
probably.
A fly. Got it. I was just exaggerating. Thank you, Ellie.
You have to be specific, Kate. Specific.
You're right. You're right. Well, there you go, guys. We went there, Ellie.
We did. We went there.
We did it.
Heavy, deep, and real. That's what we're going to rename this thing. Heavy, deep, and real.
I like this stuff. I try to do a balance of, you know, I bring in like a lot of comics and try to make it light and just funny. My good friend Nathan is hilarious. And not that he's not deep. He's very deep. But when he comes on here, he just wants to, you know, make it fucking crazy and
he just
laugh.
Wants to have
he
fun.
Yeah, he just wants to have fun, which is great. We're going to have Nathan back on soon. But then I also love having real heavy shit because I think a lot of us need to hear this stuff. A lot of us are struggling. A lot of us are in pain. That's human nature. And I just like to let people know they're not alone. We're all in this together.
Suffering is not bad. It'll bring you to a real experience. It'll bring you to an authentic experience.
You when you come it. Into relationship with your suffering, mm-hmm. something else happens. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
They call it the third thing.
Holla.
Well, thank you so much for listening. You can't find Ellie anywhere because she's not on Twitter. She doesn't want you to add her on Facebook. You can try to. Her name's Ellie Beal.
Don't do it.
Feel free to add me on Facebook, although sometimes I can't tell if it's like one of those bots, you know, trying to add me. And then I'm going to hit accept and I'm going to get like tagged in some stupid shoe advertisement. Anyway, Twitter, I'm at the Kate Wolf, 2 F's. If you would like to email me for a tarot card reading, it's kwolf, 2 F's, 27@gmail.com. It's $30 for 30 minutes. And if you would like to follow Joe, it's @JoeSantagato. Thank you guys so much for listening. Bye.
See ya.